Well, shock, shock, my friends, Democrats can't do math. Yes, even after passing the largest tax increase in Washington state history, there is still a gap in our budget. Why? Because of declining revenues, all thanks to the Democrats who can't do math. Joining us now to discuss on the Warrior Injury Law studio line, Senator Chris Gildin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, my friend.
Such a pleasure to have you back. So how do we get to a place like this? Republicans came out with a very normal budget that made a few reasonable cuts and didn't increase any taxes whatsoever. The Democrats went along with this lie, and yes, I'm calling it a lie, that there was a budget gap when really it was their out of control spending and everything they want to spend in the future. And now we're still close to $1 billion in the hole despite this huge tax increase?
Yeah, well, I think you bring up a good point to kind of level set. Is back last November, just after the election, we started hearing about a budget shortfall. And at that time, it was about $4 billion. It quickly jumped to 8, to 12, to 16. At one point, it was a $21 billion shortfall is what the Democrats were saying it was. Well, all the while, I had asked the nonpartisan staff who do our budget, the people with political blinders on, I said, what is the real shortfall that we're looking at? And they said it was about $6.5 billion at the time. They later had to adjust it during the next update. So $7.5 billion was the real budget shortfall. But still, even to this day, Governor Ferguson still insists that it's a $16 billion shortfall. And he just went along and signed off on, you know, $9.5 billion of new taxes. As you said, the highest tax increase in our state's history.
Well, so here's the crazy thing about that. Bob Ferguson comes out with $4 billion in budget cuts that he proposes at the beginning of the session. The Democrats lose their mind and say no. So let's work with your $7 billion for a second, and let's assume it was $7. Let's give them some benefit of the doubt, even though I actually think it was less than that. But let's go with your numbers for a second and say it was $7 billion. He proposes $4. Some of the cuts we found in Doge, Washington, added up to about $2 billion by my math, and they weren't partisan items. They were just wasteful spending items. Six, you're almost the way there. And yet, what does he do? He caves to the Democrats and only cuts $25 million as opposed to the $4 billion. I mean, if we have a $1 billion gap right now, or 780 or whatever number they're claiming, all he has to do is enact the cuts he originally suggested and we'll have a surplus, right?
You know, I had such high hopes whenever he came in his inaugural address and he was saying all of the right things, right? He was saying things like, we can't rely on taxes. Our state is unaffordable. We can't put taxes on working families. All of these things he was saying. And then he turned around and just signed off on this huge tax increase. I don't know what happened between his inaugural address and when he signed that particular budget. But for me, it shows that he's weak. It shows that he's owned by the progressives and the special interest in our state. And this will be his legacy.
Yeah, and I don't think he can run for higher office anymore, because when you say the whole country, yeah, you passed the largest tax increase in Washington history and you cave to the far left progressives in a country that's moving more to the right. I think we just ended his future ambitions right there, and I think he knows it. We're talking with Senator Chris Gildin about the Washington budget. Now, I'm looking at this thing, and practically speaking, we had some Republicans who voted for some parts of this thing too, whether it was transportation, gas taxes, things of that nature. So going forward, if the Democrats try to do something now, call a special session, what's going to be the Republican approach?
Yeah, so, and I break it out between the three various budgets, right? So we have the operating budget, which is by far the largest budget, and that's what we're talking about with this shortfall. Then we have the transportation budget, which you mentioned includes gas taxes, and then the capital budget, which is horizontal construction. But what we're talking about today is the operating budget, which is about $78 billion. And from this latest revenue forecast, we're going to end up with an ending balance of about $2 million. And whenever you start talking about billions and millions, people's eyes glaze over. But think about a family that makes about $100,000 a year. They just got a 10% raise. This is the equivalent of them having $3.50 in their bank account at the end of the year. It is reckless. It's just I don't even know how they can say that. That it's okay with a straight face.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure none of the billionaires and millionaires will leave town. I'm sure they can just tax them a whole lot more in the next session, and everything will be perfectly fine, right? I assume that's their plan.
Well, it was really interesting to me because Ferguson's response to this revenue forecast, and I think it was a really bold move for him, was he just went back to the blame game, you know? they raised taxes on working families, massive just misfire of the budget. It was almost out of balance before it even took effect, which would have been a huge embarrassment for them. And his first reaction is to come back and blame D.C. But I tell you what, you can't blame D.C. for the checks you write in Olympia.
Well, I'll tell you something else. You also can't blame it for 40 years of Democrat mismanagement in Olympia. Last time I checked, Donald Trump only became president in 2016. So really, good luck with that blame game there. Really, Senator Chris Gildin, thank you so much for being with us today. Really do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.